By a shidduch, sometimes Hashem brings the kala to the chasen, like we had by Eliezer, when he davened to Hashem for a shidduch for Yitzchak, and all of a sudden comes out Rivka. She came out. And when Yaakov came to the well by Haran, who came out with the shepselach? Rachel came out. So that's a case in each of these that the kala came out to the chasen. And sometimes Hashem brings the chasen to the kala, like in this story about the daughter of Shlomi HaMelech. Shlomi HaMelech had a very beautiful, wonderful, edle daughter, and she was old enough now to be married. It's time to find her a shidduch. And one day, when Shlomi HaMelech was sitting on his throne in Yerushalayim, and he was thinking about his daughter and finding her a shidduch, all of a sudden, with Ruach HaKodesh, he saw a poor beggar dressed in shmatis. And he saw from the Shemayim that this is the chasen that is going to be for his daughter. She is a royal princess, the daughter of the king himself, and she is going to marry a poor beggar in shmatis. And as I told you, Kenelach, the Gemara says, that there's certain things that the voices call out in the Shemayim 40 days before you are even a little baby, even before you're born. And it says, this man will marry this lady. Your shidduch is called out from the Shemayim. And you know what else is called out? A house and a field. But we're not going to explain everything in one story, although otherwise, you know, you get lost. But your house and your field is called out to the Shemayim. So Shlomi HaMelech Kinelach, how do you think he feels that his daughter is going to marry a beggar dressed in shmatis? Okay, what did he do? He took a big ship. And on the ship, first of all, he put his daughter, and then he put 70 guards from his best part of the best officers, and he put builders with all kinds of building stuff, with hammers and nails and screws and wood and screwdrivers and saws and all kinds of stuff to build. And now they sailed out in the ocean, until they go far away to an island. And Shlomi HaMelech says to the builders, build a strong castle on this island. And the builders take all of their building stuff and all of their tools, and they start to build a very strong castle on the island, just like the king said. And because there were a lot of workers, and they worked very fast, and they were very good workers, they finished the castle quickly, and the castle had a big fence around it. And now Shlomi HaMelech says to his 70 soldiers, you will be guards around the castle and make sure that nobody gets in. Not one person gets in this castle. Only my daughter will be in the castle on the island. And so his daughter went into the castle. It was very beautiful. And the guards took their positions all around the castle. And of course, there was a big, huge fence with special wires. And as you can understand, it was impossible for anybody to get into this castle. First of all, it's on an island in the middle of the ocean. And second of all, there are 70 very strong guards with swords and with spears and knives standing around guarding it. And of course, they take turns that they should be up at night, even the whole night. Nobody should sleep. They should guard the castle the whole time. And of course, it was a strong castle with high fences and high walls. And who was living in the castle? Shlomi HaMelech's daughter is going to live now in the castle. And why did Shlomi HaMelech do it? Well, some people would say because he does not want his daughter to marry the poor beggar. But really, like we explained, you can't say that Chas V'Shalom Shlomi HaMelech would do anything against Hashem, because he was a tzaddik. Probably he wants to see the big hashgacha pratis of how a shidduch works, because kenalach, this is a thing that's called beshert. It's meant to be. And nothing can stop a shidduch. Nothing in the world can stop a thing that's beshert. If it's beshert, nothing you do, no plans, and no smart things, and no tricks, can stop a thing that's beshert. And so kenalach, the daughter of Shlomi HaMelech is living in the castle, out in the ocean, surrounded by 70 guards. And this is what happened next. You ready? Okay, we go back to Eretz Yisrael near the city of Akkoi. There's a city called Akkoi. And there's a very poor man. He's not a beggar, but he's just very, very poor. He was actually a sefer who writes tefillin and mezuzahs and sefer Torah. He was very, very poor, and he was also a Talmud Chacham, but he just did not have mazel to make money, so he was walking on the road near Akkoi. And it seems he did not have a house. He did not have a place to stay. He was very tired and he was very cold. And he was walking down the road feeling very sad that he doesn't have a place to go from the cold and to sleep. He doesn't have a bed. And now he's in the middle of a field. It's getting dark. And he must lie down to rest. But it's so freezing. Now, all of a sudden, and I'm just telling you how the story goes. It's kind of a strange thing, but I'm just telling you what it says. I'm not making up anything. He saw a dead cow that had passed away a long time ago, a cow in the field. And all of a sudden, he saw the bones and the leather, the skin that was still covering the cow, and inside was an empty place. It was like a little house. He says, look, if I crawl in and lie down in the middle of that cow, because there was nothing left in the middle, there was only like bones on the outside and skin, he says, if I crawl in there, I could lie down, because a cow is big, and I'll be warm because the skin is covering the bones like a room. The leather is covering around the bones like a room. So he went over there and he crawled in and he lay down. And now he was inside of that cow like a room, like a tent. And he felt warm. And the skin was keeping him warm from the cold air and the wind. And he fell asleep inside of that cow. As he was sleeping inside of that cow, there came a big vulture. You know what's a vulture? When Avram Avinu took animals and he split them in two, and he made a promise between, Hashem made a promise with him called the Bris Bina Basarim. So there's certain kind of birdies, big birdies that fly around, they circle around, and they want to come down and eat flesh. They don't want to eat vegetables and fruits, and they don't want to eat bird food and seeds, but they want to eat flesh. So they want to eat the animals that are down on the field. And some of these birds are called vultures. Maybe there's other kind of birds also. So this kind of a bird, we're going to call him a vulture, he came down and he was looking for food that night. And in the middle of the field, he sees this cow. Who was inside of that cow? The man. But did the birdie know that the man was inside of the cow, or he just sees the cow? He sees the cow. He says, oh, a delicious meal, a nice cow in the middle of the field. Let me go down and have my supper. And so the big vulture flew down, and he landed on top of the cow. It's a big bird. And then the vulture thought to himself, I don't feel like eating him here in this field. I'm going to take him somewhere else. And he put his claws on the cow, and he lifted it up in the air together with the man inside, and he starts to fly. The big birdie picked up the cow. Of course, it was a cow with the man sleeping inside, because the cow was now like a little house, just bones and skin. And the cow decided, I don't want to eat in the field. I want to go to my favorite place. And the vulture birdie lifts up the cow with the man inside and flies through the sky over the ocean. Because this birdie liked to go to its little island. Its favorite place was the little island out in the ocean. And it says, over there I'm going to have a delicious supper. I'm going to eat up this cow that I found in the field. And the big vulture birdie takes the cow, the bones and the skin with the man inside, to its favorite island. And over there it sees, hey, who built this castle on my favorite island? Over here is the big castle. And look, there's guards all around the castle with high fences. Now, did the birdie have to worry about high fences and 70 guards? Or the birdie just goes over the fences and over the guards and over the walls? And the birdie lands on the roof and puts down the bones and the skin, and the man inside, and starts to have a delicious supper. Mmm, delicious. And it's eating now its supper, which we know it is. And the man is still sleeping inside the bones. And at the end, all of a sudden, he wakes up in the morning. All he sees, hey, there's no more roof over me. All I see is the bones. Well, I better get up and continue on the road. After all, he thought he was still in the field, because the whole time he was sleeping, that birdie made him a good ride. And he goes out of the bones. He wonders where the skin is. And he expects to see the field with the road near Akoi, where he was in Eretz Israel. But all of a sudden he sees, hey, where am I? I'm on the roof of a building. Looks like a castle over here. I'm on the roof. Where's the road? Where's the field? And he looks around and he sees ocean. Hey, I'm in the middle of the ocean on an island. How did I get here? And he sees this big birdie flying off into the sky. Hey, it must be that big birdie picked up the cow from the field and thought it was just a regular cow, and didn't know I was inside, and it must have eaten the skin from the bones, and it left me here, and I'm in the middle of an island, and it's flying away. I wonder if there's anybody around here. All I see is the roof of some kind of a castle or something. Shh. And that morning, the princess, the daughter of Shlomi HaMelech, wakes up in her castle, and she goes for a walk on the roof, because on the roof was a place to walk, and every day she went out for fresh air, and she goes for a walk and to look at the ocean, and all of a sudden, she comes onto the roof of the castle, and she starts looking around like she usually does to see the beautiful sky and the beautiful ocean, and all of a sudden she sees, hey, bones! It looks like cow bones. What's that doing here? And who's that man standing in Shmatis? Hey, who are you? How did you get here? Well, he told her his name. The story doesn't say what his name was. I got here, I guess a bird brought me. What, a bird? Yeah, I was sleeping inside of this place over here, and I think a big bird picked me up from the field and brought me through the sky, and he left me on the roof. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to come here, but, you know, the bird brought me. Now, who are you? Well, I'm a sefer. I live in Akoi in Eretz Israel. And the last thing I knew, you know, I don't have a place to go. I'm very poor. I don't have a home. And I was very cold. And I went into the middle of the field. And I found this cow over here that had passed away a long time ago. It was empty inside. I crawled inside. I went to sleep. And the next thing I know, I'm here. I'm sorry. Who are you? Well, I'm the princess. The princess? Yeah, my father is Shlomi HaMelech. Well, what are you doing here? Well, my tati knew that it's time for me to have a chasana, to get married. And on his throne, he had Ruach HaKodesh, that I would end up marrying somebody dressed in shmatis, just like you. Oh, just like me? Yeah. In fact, the way he described you, the way he described the person that he saw with Ruach HaKodesh that I'm going to marry, it looked exactly like you, in fact. A young man, very skinny, dressed in shmatis. That's exactly what you look like. You're a young man, about my age, very skinny, and dressed in shmatis. I feel bad for you. Shh. Well, they started talking. And she saw that this man, even though he was very skinny and dressed in shmatas and very poor, not only was he a sefer, he was a Talmud Chacham. Very fine person also. He just didn't exactly have mazel to have enough money to buy nice clothes or to have a place to live. Now, to a person, there's two things. The outside, the way they look, and the inside, the way they are, in their neshame, and in their midos, and how they behave. Now, how do you look at a person? So you look at them only on the outside, the way they look, the kind of clothes they have, or on the inside, the way their neshame is. Who could tell me? What do you think? What do you think? How should you look at a person?
The inside.
Okay, the inside is really more important than the outside. Of course, you know, you should dress nicely and have nice clothes, but what if you can't afford it? What if you don't have money? It means you're no good? Does it mean you're no good?
No.
A person doesn't have money to dress nice. It means there's something wrong with him, he's no good, or it means that they just don't have the money.
It means nothing. It doesn't mean that you're a bad person.
Yeah, it doesn't. Now, this sefer, this poor man, who was a Talmud Chacham, who was a very fine young man, and the daughter of Shlomi HaMelech, the princess, decided that they would like to get married. They would like to become a chasen and a kala, and have a chasana. The problem was that they're locked up on an island and nobody's there. And then the girl said, I'm afraid my tati Shlomi HaMelech, he's not going to give you reshus to marry me. He's going to be against the shidduch. Because after all, why is it that he built me a castle on an island and got me away from Eretz Yisrael? Exactly because he didn't want me to marry you. And now you're here and I'd like to marry you. What's he going to do, let me all of a sudden? But they decided that they are a chasen and a kala. And it's beshared from the Himmel. And they would like to have a chasen. And they don't want to wait. And they don't want anybody to say no. So they decided, let's get married right now. Well, who's going to come to the chasana? Well, first of all, we have to make a ksuba. You know what a ksuba is? Every chasan and a kala have to have a paper that's written out in a certain way. They have to have this paper. It's called a ksuba. This is the marriage contract. It shows they're married. Every mommy and tati has this. Sometimes they have it on the wall, sometimes they have it in the drawer, sometimes it's put away in a safe place. They must have this ksuba. In order to get married, they must have a ksuba. The sefer says, I'm a sefer, I know how to write a ksuba. I know how to write a ksuba. I'm a sefer. Well, the birdie left a feather over there. What does a sefer use to write? A feather. But I don't have any ink. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to use my own blood to write the ksuba. And he took from his own blood, this is what the Medrash says, this is what the story says, he took from his own blood and he wrote down a ksuba. But they have to have now two edim, two witnesses. They have to have two witnesses to see the ksuba. And the young man said, let's have Malach Mechoyo and Malach Gavriel, two malachim, to be the witnesses, to be the edim. And so they had the malachim to be the witnesses. Okay, let's have a chasna. Who will we invite? Well, we had two malachim to be the edim. We should invite malachim to be by the chasna. Okay. And they had a chasna there in the castle with nobody there but malachim. And sure enough, they lived in the castle and they kept their marriage a secret from the guards. Every day the guards went by and the man hid in the room. But what happens maybe about a year later after a chasan and a kala get married? What happens with Hashem's bracha if there is a chasan and a kala and Hashem gives the bracha?
You get a baby.
You can have a baby. And sure enough, about a year later, they had a little baby. And so now they have to keep a secret, not only the chasan, but also the baby. Now, a chasan, maybe it's a little bit easier to keep it a secret. But what about a baby? Is it easy to keep a secret? Or sometimes the baby goes, meow, meow. Well, sure enough, one day, one of the guards was going through the hall of the castle. And all of a sudden he hears a sound. And he says, what's that sound? It sounds like a baby. I must be dreaming. There are no babies on the island in the castle. There's only the daughter of Shlomi HaMelech in the castle. And she doesn't sound like a baby. Maybe I was daydreaming or something. After all, you know, I'm on this island for a long time being a guard. Maybe I'm just daydreaming. And he walks down the hall again, and he hears again, that's a baby. And he brings another guard over. Do you hear that sound? Yeah, it sounds like a baby. Let's go check out what it is. It's the guards. Open the door, please. We have to check into the room. Nothing's in here, just me. Yeah, but we heard a sound like a baby. Couldn't be. How could there be a baby? It's just me on the island, you know. We hear a baby. And the girl said, look, we can't keep this a secret forever. They opened the door. All of a sudden, the guard saw a chosen and a kala and a baby. Hey, how did this man get here? I came with a bird. How did this baby get here? Well, we had a chasana. Why don't you give us mazel tov? And also for the baby, give us two mazel tovs. We had a chasana and a baby. Oy, the guard said, we're in trouble now because Shlomi HaMelech told us that we have to stand around the castle, 70 guards, and make sure that the girl doesn't have the chasana. And the girl doesn't get married to the wrong chasan. All of a sudden, now she's married and she already has a baby. Oh no, Shlomi HaMelech is going to get mad at us because we didn't keep this man from coming in. How'd you say you got here? How could you come here and get past the guards? Well, you know, I came inside of a cow and with a bird. A cow? A bird? What are you talking about? Well, you know, by the time I woke up, it was just bones. What are you talking about? Bones? A cow? A bird? Well, the chasan explained to guards, and the guards saw, well, what can they do? And the next time Shlomi HaMelech came to visit the island, to visit his daughter, all of a sudden he also found out that he has a chasan and he has an einikel. And the guards got so afraid that Shlomo HaMelech will get angry on them and punish them and get upset that they didn't do their job. But Shlomo HaMelech was actually very happy. He was very excited. He says, look at the Hashkacha Pratis of Hashem. Look at what happens when the Torah says something exactly. That's what happens. That's the way it is. That the Torah says that 40 days before a person even becomes a baby, 40 days even before they're born, or even before they start to be a baby, a voice goes out in the Himmel and it says, this man will marry this girl. This is Beshert. And can you do anything to stop that? Can you do anything to hold back something that's announced in the Shemayim? Can you do anything to change that? Or that's Beshert, that's the way it's going to be. Hashem will find some way either to bring the Kala to the Chosn or to bring the Chosn to the Kala. In this case, he found a way to bring the Chosn to the Kala. And no matter what, you put them in the ocean. And so they can't get past the ocean. And then you build a strong castle with big walls and fences to keep out who you want to keep out. And you put 70 strong guards with knives, with swords, with spears. And they take turns being up at night to guard. Can you do anything to stop the shidduch, or the shidduch still happened because the shidduch was Mashem? You couldn't do anything to stop it. And Shlomo HaMelech was very happy. And he gave a bracha to the chosn. And he gave a bracha to the kala. And he gave a bracha to the little baby. And he said, mazel tov for the chasana and mazel tov for the baby. And that's the story. But I want to say one more thing, Kenalach. It says, tzaddik gezer v'akadosh baruch hu makayim. A tzaddik says something and the Eibishter does it. Just like when the Eibishter says something, Hashem does it, and that's the way it's going to be. When a tzaddik says something, the Eibishter makes it happen. He's makayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Makayim means the Eibishter makes it happen. The Rebbe said that Mashiach is coming. Kinalach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Makayim, Mashiach will come. Look what happened since the Rebbe said Mashiach is coming. All of these things don't matter. Because even those things happen afterwards, nothing can change the koyach of the words of a tzaddik. Kinalach, don't worry. The Rebbe said, Mashiach is coming. Mashiach is coming soon. Mashiach is coming now. We don't have to get afraid. We don't have to, chas v'shalom, feel bad about anything. We only have to have betachin that exactly that's what's going to happen, and it's going to happen very soon. Nothing changed. Tzadik gezer v'kadosh baruch hu makayim. It says in Shulchan Aruch, the beginning, that Yehuda ben Tema says, we should be quick like an eagle. Kal kanesher. Now what means quick like an eagle? Because it already said, ratz ketzvi, fast, running like a deer. So running fast, quick in that way, of course, there's a mitzvah to go and do. You don't just walk or go slow, or you don't just put it off till later. You run fast with Rizus and you go do the mitzvah. So we already said you should be fast and quick. What means then, kal kanesher, quick like an eagle? I'm going to tell you a very interesting thing. How does an eagle fly? Like this, watch. The eagle is flying, all of a sudden it comes to a mountain, and it can turn just like that and go a different direction. Most other animals or birds, if they're going like this and they want to turn, they have to slowly sort of go off to the side. An eagle can go very fast, and right before it gets to the wall, psh, quick, it quickly turns in a different direction. Now, what it means in Shulchan Aruch is this. If you're walking down the street, and all of a sudden you see something, and right away you know, I shouldn't look at that. It's not sneeze. It's not sneeze stick, or it's something wrong not to look at it. Then instead of chas v'shalom to look at it more, you right away turn your eyes away. a different direction. Just like an eagle is quick to change direction, you turn away. And you're all of a sudden, your recess time, or you're in somebody's house or whatever, you're playing in the playground, and all of a sudden you hear something. People are speaking Lashon Hara, or language that's not nice. And your Yetzer Hara says, hey, go listen to what they're saying. Instead of doing that, right away you go, psh, change your direction and go listen to something else somewhere else. You don't have to listen to that. Right away, go away from there. Okay? That's what it means. Quick like an eagle to change direction.